Look with me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. Matthew, chapter 19. This week we had our workers' appreciation dinner on Monday night. And we introduced the theme of all in, all in. And we just want to expound on that for just a little bit this morning. But I want to just also announce that at the end of this month, the last Sunday of this month, that now every Sunday should be an evangelistic Sunday. But the last Sunday of the month is an all-in for souls Sunday. All-in for souls. And that means I want to encourage every one of you and me, all of us, to bring to the service that day people that you know that need the Lord. Bring people that need the Lord. And you don't have to look very far to find people that need Jesus. But if we all would work together and bring family, friends, neighbors, maybe people that you do business with, people that you are acquainted with, people that need Jesus. And this all just come together on that Sunday, all of us, all in for souls, all in for souls on the last Sunday of February. We have a young man that'll be with us as a young evangelist. He was in Nicaragua with us, Robbie Grubb. Robbie is a young man that the Lord is using in a lot of places, preaching the gospel, reaching for souls. And he'll be doing that on that Sunday, preaching and reaching for the lost in those services, Sunday morning and Sunday night. The whole service is going to be geared toward reaching them. And we're going to have that week some times to prepare with prayer and fasting and asking the Lord, save the lost. Is there anything more important than the souls of men? No. The eternal destiny of men and women, there is nothing more important than the eternal destiny of souls and decisions and a turning toward God on that last Sunday, actually any Sunday, but especially that day as we make that the focus and we all work together, pray together, we all bring people to the house of God that day. I believe that the Lord will he'll save the lost. While I was in Nicaragua last week, Robbie was in the next room to me, and all different times the walls were thin, and Robbie was praying, crying out to God, calling on the Lord, and I was just so impressed with his hunger for God and his desire to see people's lives changed. And so it's a real opportunity. Let's take advantage of this last Sunday of February, all in for souls. Amen? Amen? All in for souls. Amen. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We're talking about all in today. All in. What does it mean? Now, I've never been a poker player. I've never really played with playing cards. My mother believed that playing cards were wicked and evil. And so we never even had a deck of cards in our house. So I've never played poker. I've never gone all in, as I've heard people talk about gambling. But I do know that it's an important thing for us to consider when it comes to where we stand with God and what level of commitment and dedication. To be all in means that we have fully given our all to the Lord, holding nothing in reserve. Now, the young man that we read to you about here in this text, he was a good young man. Just look at all the wonderful qualities that he had. Well, for one thing, he knew who to go to. He went to Jesus asking for help. The Bible says he was rich, so he likely had privilege. He was young, so he had a lot of potential for his life, his future. He was a ruler, so he had power and influence. He was religious. He was concerned about eternal life. He had all these amazing qualities in his life, but he knew something was lacking. You see, Jesus knows what's lacking in your life or my life. He knows the area of our life that we're holding in reserve. He knows that area of our life that we're refusing to let God have his hand on it. And we haven't completely given ourselves to the Lord. A 16th century astronomers, they believed that the earth was the center of the universe. But a guy by the name of Copernicus challenged this idea, and they began to realize that planet Earth was really very small in the universe, and everything didn't revolve around the Earth, but instead the Earth revolved around the sun and everything else. And so that was quite an awakening for them in that in astronomy and their understanding of the universe. But there needs to be an awakening in a lot of our hearts, and that is that we are not the center of the universe either. We're not the most important thing in this world. We too oftentimes we have allowed ourselves to be at the center. We've put ourselves on the throne. That was the whole problem with this rich young man, this rich young ruler, is that he had said, I've done all these things. I've kept all this law. And he enumerated all of his qualities and all the good things about him. There was something, though, that was on the throne of his heart, something that ruled his heart that he was not willing to yield to God. So we could say of this young man, he was not all in. He was holding back in some areas of his life. You know, you're not the center of the universe. You're not the center of the world. Now, little babies, they think they're the center of the universe because all they have to do is cry and somebody brings them food, cry and somebody changes their diaper. But if someone's doing that and they're 17, 18, 19, then you know something's really wrong, bad wrong, because we grow up and we mature, and we understand, especially if we understand God and the Word of God, we understand we're not the center of it all. He is. Jesus is the center of it all. And we're to commit our lives to the Lord. And we need to go all in, fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sad to say, in many cases, in the Christian world, we're just kind of casual. I appreciate it when people are committed and they have conviction and dedication. Tonight there's going to be 83,000 people in the Mercedes-Benz, what do you call that, stadium down there in Atlanta watching the Super Bowl. 83,000. That's in person. But I read about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has a restaurant in that stadium, and they were being asked, well, there's going to be 83,000 potential customers. You never open up on Sunday. Are you going to open up on this Sunday? And Chick-fil-A released, their news release said, we are going to stay in keeping with our company policy to always keep our stores, including the one in the stadium, closed on the Lord's Day. Wow. Wow. Don't you just love it when people have a little conviction about them? A little commitment, and are willing to stand for something that is important and something that is valuable. This rich young man loved his riches more than he loved God. He was willing to keep the commandments. He was willing to follow after God, to seek after God. He was interested in what he needed to do to earn eternal life. But there was just something that had hold of his life and hold of his heart that he was not willing to give up. You know, there's nothing in this world more important than your walk with God. There's no wealth, there's no riches, there's no possessions. There's nothing, there's no approval of any person. Nothing that's important in your walk with God and your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing in your life. And I believe that God wants some men and women and young people who will do just that. Just go all in. Just completely commit themselves. Completely dedicate themselves. Fully, 100%, without reserve. Every area of your life, you give it to Jesus. You see, the wonderful thing about this is that the people that God mightily uses are the people that go all in. Amen. That's the ones that God greatly uses. A British evangelist preaching over 100 years ago didn't know that he had in his audience a young man by the name of Dwight Moody. He preached that day and he said, the world is yet to see what God will do with and through the man who is fully and totally consecrated to him. D.L. Moody heard that, but he didn't just hear it with his ears. It pierced his heart. It so got a hold of him that he said, God, I'll be that kind of a man. I'll be that man. I'll be that man. It was D.L. Moody that started Sunday schools all over Chicago. It was D.L. Moody that founded a training school to send missionaries. That's now Moody Bible Institute. He only had a fifth grade education. He wasn't a speaker of great ability, but he just committed himself without a reserve. Lord, I'll be that man who gives myself completely to you, Lord. I'll be that person that gives myself to you. Before he died, over 1,000 missionaries were trained and sent into the foreign field. Moody Bible Institute, Moody Church, Moody Publishing. And long after he died, Moody Publications, Moody Radio, and on and on and on. The things that were that sprung out of his dedication and his commitment to give himself wholly to the Lord. He held evangelistic campaigns all over the world and preached the gospel in many nations of the world and all across America. It is estimated, and I got this off of the Moody website, so I didn't make this number up because when I read it, I thought, that sounds unbelievable. But it's estimated that he preached personally, in person, to over 100 million people. That's incredible. Now, Billy Graham preached for that kind of a numbers as well, but it was... much of it was via television. Obviously, he did have crusades, large crusades, all over the world. But 100 million people before radio, before television, that he traveled and would preach several times a day all over the world. And he just said, I want to be that man that goes all in for God, that gives myself completely to the Lord. It may be that there would be some right here in this service today, and you've just kind of been casual about the things of God. But you know, the person that will commit themselves to the Lord 100%, God can do something mighty in your life and through your life if you're willing to make yourself available to the Lord and go all in. Amen. I mean, there's plenty of half-hearted Christians. There are plenty of people that are just kind of barely going to church, just giving God, you know, a little time every week. And there are plenty of people that really don't have that much of a commitment to the Lord. You don't have to be in that crowd. You can commit your life, your future, everything into the hands of the Lord. If you really want to see God do some wonderful and amazing things in your life, through your life, go all in. Give him your all. Fully commit yourself to the Lord. Amen. As a matter of fact, anytime that God is going to do something amazing and wonderful, he always calls that person to consecration and dedication first. In the book of Joshua chapter 3, before they entered into the promised land and were going to receive all the wonderful, all the different parts of the promised land was going to be divided up between the 12 tribes of Israel. Excuse me. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The word sanctify, it just means separate or surrender your whole self to the Lord. Or don't withhold anything. If you'll commit yourself completely into the hand of the Lord, take yourself off of the throne of your heart and put Jesus Christ on the throne of your heart. Joshua said, if you'll dedicate yourself, if you'll consecrate yourself to the Lord, tomorrow God's going to do wonders. Hallelujah. And the word wonders, it just means the miraculous, the supernatural, the amazing that God can do. Do you understand that we serve the same God that Joshua served? We serve the same God of the Old Testament, the New Testament. We serve the same God that can do wonderful and mighty works if we'll just commit our ways unto the Lord. And it's in the surrendering of all that God begins to honor you and begins to do amazing and wonderful things. Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to see the hand of God, the supernatural hand of God? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you'll commit your life, your future without reserve, completely into the hands of the Lord, then God has promised, I'm going to do wonders. I'm going to do amazing things, supernatural things in your behalf. That's true for us individually. That's true for us corporately as a church. If we will consecrate ourselves, sanctify ourselves, give ourselves to God, wholly dedicate ourselves to the Lord, God can do some wonderful things through us as a body right here. He can send a great revival and a great flood of souls coming into the kingdom of God. God wants to do amazing and wonderful things, but he's looking for a people that'll go all in. Amen. Amen. All in. Sometimes people say, well, that would just be, you know, there are just a few people that are fanatical about the things of God. The rest of us are normal. Well, normal isn't going to get it done, if that's what normal is. We're going to have to go beyond normal. We're going to have to go to a new level of commitment to God. That's why we've challenged you throughout the month of January. Let's fast together. Let's pray together. Let's put God first. Let's seek the Lord with our whole heart. Hopefully we have set the pattern, the precedent in January for the year. And we'll continue to seek the Lord with our whole heart. Because God wants to do amazing, wonderful things if we'll commit our lives to him without reserve. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you're going to follow the Lord, it starts with denial. Denying of yourself. Saying no to yourself. Remember, we can't be on the throne of our life. Jesus has to be there. We can't be the center of our world. Jesus has to be the center of our world. Jesus said to his disciples, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. There's going to be some sacrifice involved. Read about those disciples. Read about the 12. All that they suffered. All the experience. Yes, they suffered. All but one martyred. All of them suffered great things. But the mighty hand of God was upon them. And God used those men who were ignorant and unlearned, unqualified. God used them in mighty ways to spread the gospel all over the known world. He did that because they committed themselves all in, completely, fully dedicated to the purpose and the calling of God. This is not just for the missionaries that we send out. This is for all of us. Because we're missionaries right here in London and Laurel County. We're called of God. And God wants to use you and me to dedicate ourselves to him and his purpose. We have to deny ourselves. Take up his cross. What was the cross? The cross was that instrument of death. And he is telling us we need to die to our own wishes, our own desires, our own preferences. What we want to do with our lives and our futures. And we need to give our life into his hands to do with us what he wants to do. Amen. That's what he told the disciples. When Abraham took his only son Isaac into the land of Moriah, the Bible says that he took Isaac up to the top of that mountain, built an altar and laid him there. And raised the knife up to take his life. As far as God was concerned, it was already a done deal. He knew Abraham's heart. He knew Abraham was going to follow through. He knew that Abraham was going to obey what God told him to do. He was going to kill his son, even though it was his only son, and he loved him more than anything. He was going to do it because he was going to obey God. That was the most important thing to him, was obeying the Lord. He laid him on that altar, raised the knife. It was as good as done as far as God was concerned. The angel of the Lord stopped it from happening. But I want you to take notice of the fact. Now, Abraham went all in. He fully committed to the Lord and to obedience unto the Lord. You know, the ram that was in the thicket that was provided by the Lord for the sacrifice there. But read with me in Genesis 22 and 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Glory to God. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now that land of Moriah and that Mount Moriah is the same place where, where Jesus was crucified. And it was there that the promise was fulfilled that Jesus was the provision of our salvation. He is our Jehovah Jireh. Abraham went and obeyed the Lord, and God blessed him. God blessed him and blessed his household and blessed his family. That's the promise. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. This thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, but in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's a messianic prophecy of Jesus Christ. In your seed shall all the people of the earth be blessed. Glory to God. So what God did for Abraham was, because Abraham was willing to obey God and give himself, his life, his future, and be willing to go and do whatever God asked him to do, then God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your future. I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to defeat your enemies. And I am going to cause in your line, your lineage, the Messiah, the Son of God, is going to be born. Glory to God. Glory to God. That sounds like wonders. That sounds like the miraculous. Amen. Now, this is a message for those of us who may be a little half-hearted in our commitment today. You have to be honest. You're not really 100% in your commitment to the Lord and to the call of God and the purpose of God in your life. You're going along and you've added God to whatever you're doing. Whatever, you know, you don't reject God. You don't reject the Bible. You live as you're a good person. But you've just added God onto all that you're doing. And you've just said, God, bless what I'm doing. I want you in my life too. But that's not the way it works. Amen. That's not the way it works. You don't do all that you want to do and ask God to come along and bless all that you're doing. You're getting everything in reverse. You start with committing your life and your future and everything to him. And you don't do what you want. You do his will. You do what he calls you to do. You do his purpose in your life. And when you do, you understand the purpose of God is being fulfilled. And God is working in your behalf. Praise God. There was a group 100 years ago who were called the One-Way Missionaries. They would go by ship to their various foreign fields, pack all their belongings up, and put them in homemade caskets. The caskets were was the trunk that they packed their belongings in. They waved goodbye to their loved ones as the ship would pull away because they knew they would never see them again. They were leaving forever. They were all in, completely. They completely gave themselves to the call and the purpose of God. They knew they were never going to return. Among those, one of them was a man by the name of A.W. Milne. He went to the South Pacific, to New Hebrides. After 35 years now, up to that time, that was a place where anyone who stepped there on those islands, they were speared, they were murdered, their lives were taken. Every missionary before, and he knew in going there that he was probably going to lose his life, but yet he felt God sending him to do that. It seems strange and foolish that someone would give themselves to that kind of a calling, but he was listening to the voice of the Lord. He went to New Hebrides, and there he loved the people and preached the gospel to them for 35 years. He lived with them and taught them about the love of Jesus. And after 35 years, he died. They buried him in the center of the village. They put a stone with a marker there on his grave that said, when he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you can spend your life, and we only have one. We only have one. And I can remember what it was like as a young person because I had all these ideas about what I wanted to do and what I thought was important to me. And the Lord had to take me to a certain place where I would finally say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do. When I went away to Bible school, I thought my life was over. I really did. I thought, well, I'm never going to have a good time. My life is over. I'm always going to be poor, and it's going to be miserable. And I was convinced of that. When I went away to Bible school, I just thought, but I knew that God said, this is what I want you to do. So I went, 1973. It was that crucial decision that I only know now it was made because so many people prayed for me and supported me and helped me to follow the path that God wanted me to follow. And I'm so grateful for that. But I want you to know, young or whatever, you're not going to be any younger than you are today. You've got potential from here on out to give yourself to the Lord and be all in, wholehearted. When you're wholehearted, then you want to do whatever you can for God. You want to be right in the center of the purpose of God and the work of God, doing all that you can. You have a willing heart, an obedient heart. You're not just adding God on to what you're already doing, but you're putting all that aside and saying, okay, God, I'm yours. You do with me what you want to do. I'm yours. You do with my life. You do with my future. You do with me what you want to do. I'm willing. I'm willing. And when you consecrate yourself, when you commit yourself fully unto the Lord, then the Lord says, I'll do amazing things. I'll do wonders. I'll do the miraculous. I'll show up supernaturally in your behalf if you will do what I am calling you to do. The rich young man who had all of these wonderful qualifications, but he knew, what do I lack? What is it that I'm lacking? He knew that there was an area of his life that he was holding in reserve that he hadn't really given to the Lord. He knew. And as soon as his money was mentioned, his riches were mentioned, he bows his head, he walks away, because Jesus has put his finger on his heart, the thing that has his heart. And he's not willing to surrender that. He knows you and he knows me. He doesn't just know what we're doing, but he knows what's in our heart. He knows everything about you. He knows the thing that's the most important thing in your life that's even more important than him. And it can't be that way. You can't get nowhere with God. You can't be anything that God would have you to be if you're not willing to put him on the throne of your heart. Are you willing today? God is looking for people who are willing to go all in, completely. Dedicate yourself to the Lord. Risk being called a fanatic. Risk being called, oh, you're so extreme. You're so, why? Why do you pray? Why do you fast? Why are you working for God? Why is that so important to you? The world may look at you and say, that's strange, that's extreme. But that's what God's looking for. Amen. A people who have committed themselves fully unto the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together, Father. I know that you're calling young people. You're calling every one of us, Lord, to this level of dedication to you. Forgive us, Lord, because we've let so many things, Lord, set on the throne of our heart. It might be money, it might be career, it might be business, it might be family, it might be many, many things, possessions. But Lord, forgive us because we've put that at the center of our heart, the center of our life. And that's where you belong. That's where you need to be, Lord, right at the center of our life. Forgive us, Lord, because we've replaced you with temporal things that are going to pass away. Forgive us, Lord, because we've allowed the things of this life to be so important that we forget and forsake the things that are valuable, of eternal value. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to speak clearly by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to young people, to young men and women and every age group, Lord, in this service today. Deal with our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to commit our all to you, our all in all to you, that we would withhold nothing, holding nothing in reserve, Lord, but just completely give ourself to you, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.